Holy Spirit, with the Lord. Oh, blessed, wondrous word. What heavenly light, what power divine, and doth that sweet word, word of Lord. One Spirit with the Lord, Jesus the glorified, it seems the church for which he died, left his body and his bride. 210.
Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all willingness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore he saith, when he hath ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus.
Addresses that there is a place. We're not left without a place. Called the heart of heaven, where it's all from the beginning. We need grace, we need strength, we need wisdom, we need health. All those things we can turn to the Lord for. But there is a path that the Lord has marked out for us all, even in this day of my weakness and feebleness and difficulties. There's still the time. It says in Joel that Walter's eye has not seen it, neither has the fierce lion cried. There is a time.
Before this reading of the verse in Philippians, that has been referred to many times, the first book in 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The brother, I come and see you, or else be after time to hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, it was the desire of the Apostle Paul that Philippi, as well as every other place, the Lord's own when we stop on trying to fast. One spirit and one mind started together. He goes on further on in Philippians to say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so we might say, what is it that is going to make the believers of one mind? It's not hard to say what it is, because Paul spells it out in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to show how the Lord set aside everything for us. So we are encouraged in Philippians, as well as elsewhere in the Word of God, that we do might seek to manifest that in our measure, that was shown out perfectly in the life of the Lord Jesus. As obedience was called for, and in some cases it will be necessary, obedience. Well, again, we have a perfect example for the Lord Jesus. Was obedient unto death. For the rest of us, normally we don't have to go that far.
We call our attention to that 27th verse in the first chapter, striving together. Maybe it's not on the light to make some comments on it. Striving together. What does that kind of suggest to us?
Thank you. certainly wasn't me, me trying to walk your own way, but it's driving together and doing things together. And that's often a real help and encouragement when we have someone helping together. But it does seem to me it puts a little responsibility on us driving. We like to often fellowship with folks and see eye to eye with us. But striving together may encourage us to want to be of help and encouragement to one another. And I again go back to the Ephesians 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. So those are things that just don't come natural to us. I think they don't come natural. But we need to put them in the forefront so that we would put a little effort into it. We found it all now. Maybe you have some thought on what
we got. Well, I was just thinking, what do we do if we're in a situation where the brother mentioned this morning, maybe only two or three in the assembly where we go, and maybe we don't have much opportunity to have fellowship with some others from other assemblies. Is there any danger of getting tired of striving together? We start to become complacent, and we want some fresh fellowship. What do we do in that situation? I'm sure there are many here that know what I've ever spoken of. Seems that the testimony of one gathered in the Lord's name is dwindling. There are pockets of gatherings here and there, but the numbers seem to be increasing. So we do emphasize the importance of having fellowship and striving together. What about the situation where the ones that are striving with the family, wife, children, brothers, or sisters? What do we do when it gets difficult to strive together?
Well, our brother refers to Philippians 2. And we often begin reading Philippians 2 on Lord's Day morning, and we say, read the last two words of the fifth verse. Maybe we ought to read from the beginning of the verse. There it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you. I know that fellowship is something that we do miss, and nearly every little assembly, those gathered in the Lord's name, in one way or another, has felt what it is to lose contact and fellowship with others. Like precious faith, once gathered with us. I don't think we should. And I want to be corrected if I'm wrong, brother. But I don't think that we should necessarily cut them out of our minds, which sometimes there's a danger of doing that. But just look to the Lord and seek His grace and help. If there's an opportunity to be of help and encouragement to them, try to be of a help and encouragement to them. I know it's rather ground sometimes, I don't know how far to go, but I believe we really have the mind of the Lord before us, or seek His mind, I guess I should say. I think it's a little thing they ought to have the Lord's mind, absenting himself from himself. I think that's quite right, but we trust we have the Lord's mind in what we are in our contact with Him. And maybe some would be restored. We don't know. Maybe we're the ones that are hungry. But it is very difficult. And I know that because of an exercise on our heart, here and there, it's wonderful to see a few who, by the grace of God, have been restored or really feel the desire of fellowship, and they may seek out our fellowship. Have you had something bad with that?
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, because it is easy to get discouraged, isn't it? There are only a few who see more giving up than are being taken up. But I believe the Lord gives us encouragement along the way that we need it. And I've enjoyed the verse of Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies to be living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. If I, on a daily basis, submit myself to the will of the Lord, it's not only going to bring me into a enjoyment of what He wants for me in my life, but I believe I will be brought into the enjoyment of those that have the same attitude, the same desire. And though we may not necessarily live in the same geographical location, we may be separated by hundreds of thousands of miles. But when we have the opportunity to be together, such as occasions as this, gives us a great deal of joy to see that there are others that have the same desire to the Lord that I try to have. One of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, I believe, is that account given to us of the Philistine, 2 Samuel 9. It is, has been remarked that the Lord has a place for us individually and collectively. And there is an attempt to diminish that teaching or to teach against that. But I don't believe there's any place in Scripture where we can see or receive instruction that the Lord directs one to go to one place and someone else to go to another. I just don't see. And I would challenge anyone to find a place in Scripture. But we may each recall growing up, and many young people here may hear certain scriptures that would say, that may hear anyone say, this is evidence that the Lord has one gathered and sent. And there may be scriptures that come to mind. I know for myself, Romans 18, or Matthew 18:20 is one that I've heard a lot. And I accepted it and I believed it. But then, as I got older, I found there were other groups of Christians that claimed the same thing. So then it became a challenge. Well, are there other places in Scripture that have the same teaching? And I found that in reading different passages of Scripture or stories, that there is indeed many other places in Scripture where that teaching is fulfilled, that the Lord has one place where He wants me to be. We can simply turn to the Old Testament and find an example in Jacob of one that was given a very clear instruction where God wanted him to be. But in part through his mother, he was sidetracked. Over the course of years, he gradually came to that place. The Lord told him to go to the place where God wanted to be. And he eventually got there. But he had a lot of difficulty along the way, a lot of trials. And he even said, why are all these things against me? If we have that feeling in our hearts, perhaps it's time to ask ourselves, why would the Lord want me to be? And I believe that with Kibbishet, to me it's another example of the teaching that the Lord has one place where he wants me to be. And I'm sure that anyone that's capable of reading and find for themselves places in the scripture that put forth the thought that the Lord has one place for us individually and collectively. But I enjoyed reading about Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 9. It seems like each time I read it, there's something new that I come to understand or the Lord helps me grow. And one thing recently that I enjoyed about Mephibosheth is that David wants to bless Mephibosheth because he is the son of Jonathan, his friend. So he sends out a servant, brings him in, and we can read there the account there of Mephibosheth eating continually at the king's table. Now, one thing I enjoyed recently about that is it doesn't tell us who else was at the king's table. It tells us that Mephibosheth was there, and it tells us that he didn't eat there continually at the king's table. And so if I, as in Romans 12, verse 1, am presenting myself as Lord, am I worried about who else is going to be there in the presence of the Lord? We don't have to worry about that, because if there are others that are presenting themselves to the Lord, they will be there with us. And so it was with Mephibosheth. We aren't told whether Mephibosheth was a friend of some of David's sons who may have been eating at his table, or maybe some captain of some of his hosts that were meeting there at the table, or certain officers of his army. We don't know. But we do know that Mephibosheth is there and the king is there. And so if we are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, one that is holy and acceptable to the Lord, there will be others there at the king's table, probably with us, that we do not know that they're there. And my objection should be, my presenting myself at the king's table to the Lord. I'll let these others take care of themselves. But so often, the nature and tendency of my heart and mind to get taken up with what someone else is doing. And just to finish up along that line, I find that sometimes we get very concerned about what someone else is doing. And I have to remind myself of what the Lord said to Peter in the last chapter of John's Gospel. Peter says, looking at John, says, Lord, what shall this man be? He's given me such and such a charge, and you want me to follow you and do this. What about this man over here? What the Lord's words to Peter were, says, if I will that you perish or I'll not, what is that to be? You follow me, follow thou me. So the charge that is given to me is that I can have myself in the Lord. And I find that it's something that has to be done on a daily basis. Because if I don't do it today, I might forget tomorrow, and pretty soon I might start to get on the track doing something that I shouldn't be doing, or I start concerning myself about what I think someone else should be doing. But the expectation is, what is that? Follow the Lord. So if I'm following the Lord, I can be assured that I'm going to be disciplined across the book. And if the Lord will, He will make us aware of others of their needs.
Good point there, I believe, Scott, because it's quite dangerous for us to get occupied with what else might be at the king's table. And we get our eyes on brethren, and then we really don't matter. And often that has been the downfall, I believe, of many here in the name of God. They say, well, so-and-so is there, and surely I ought to be there. But we need to remember that Mephibosheth was brought in. He didn't go on his own 2 feet because he didn't have 2 feet he could walk on. He was carried in and brought to the king's table, and the king was at that table. Reminds me of 2 of an Old Testament scripture where Elijah fell at one time that he was all alone. And the Lord had to say to him that there were 7,000 in Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And we should always keep that in mind when we think that we're the only ones. 7,000 did not bow the knee to Baal. It doesn't mean that they're all going on. Well, the Lord does have His own, and they're near and dear to His heart.
Ourselves in very small meetings where 2 or 3 are gathered. In chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, labor the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high place. To the chief singer on my stringed instrument. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Supposing there only is 3 of us. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. It's encouraging, brother, that there's only 2, husband or wife, 2 or 3. The Lord says, let me see thy countenance. The Lord wants to see us. We're there because the Lord is there, and He gets joy for seeing us there and hearing our voice. So that should encourage us, should it not. But so often we do get discouraged, downcast, where you can be thankful for a dear brethren here who would invite us to come apart and be with the Lord's people so we can be energized to go back home. Even if they're just twos and threes back home, the Lord is the same.
That's like the name of all time. Word you read, let me hear thy voice. I hope that the young brothers here would take that to heart. It's nice to hear their voice, whether it's in a prayer meeting, it's probably the best place to start, but regardless, let me hear thy voice. Maybe giving out a hymn. Maybe just making a comment. It's such an encouragement. It's been pointed out that when there's a little baby in the family, everyone is looking at that little baby as it grows, but all while they're listening, they hear the first word, and it will say, Mama or Daddy. It's just strange to hear that first word. Well, you know, so nice. Come, let me hear thy voice. The Lord encourages us to open our mouth. Now there's a balance always. You know that, Ecclesiastes 5:22, I believe, sounds a balance about our words being hubris, perhaps. That was written down here in my Bible. Perhaps I need to point out anyone else. Be not rash with thy mouth. Ecclesiastes 5:2, and let not thy heart be hasty to anything, to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou art upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. I remember when I used to go to a conference, we'd hear a brother say, long prayers for the closet and short prayers for the prayer meeting. That sound familiar, Brother Donald? Well, it's true, and you don't need to pray a long prayer for the prayer meeting. Just to bring out a burden that's on your heart, to say it. Tell the Lord. So there's encouragement for the twos and the threes. Somebody told me once, you learn something in a small meeting and you never learn in a big meeting. And maybe every little along that line. Because the large meetings just don't feel perhaps a responsibility to open your mouth. I remember in our other meeting at home, I hardly ever opened my mouth in prayer meeting. Suddenly, my parents were taken away in an accident. Well, my uncle and my father were the two that took most of the part of the meeting. We were in a very small meeting. And suddenly, we began to realize there's a responsibility. And so, the Lord lays something on your heart. Don't be hasty, but don't refrain from saying it. It's a real healthy service, just like parents are just listening for that first word for their child. They want to hear something. And then if they can put a little phrase together, why, they can't wait until they get together and say, why, she or he said so and so. Put two words together and put three words together. She or he put two words together.
Been speaking about how our weakness and smallness of numbers sometimes may be a discouragement to us in our various locations, and the Lord feels that too. I was thinking of two verses toward the end of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. He says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? It seems like in that question, it was something that he felt. So he feels all these things that we feel too, doesn't he?
Which chapter is that?
Chapter 6, verse 66 and 67 of John's Gospel.
Jesus, and you pray that his coat might be worn.
By his grace, endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit.
doesn't mean to keep the unity of the body. The Lord keeps that, as has often been pointed out. We couldn't keep that. But we can keep that spirit. And may that encourage us to want to go on for Him in spite of fewness of numbers. And let us always be thankful that by His grace we are gathered, and by His grace alone we can be kept.
Joseph had the sense of that, I believe, in Genesis 45. They were just in his presence, rejoicing. Genesis 45, 24. A few moments, we're going to be doing the same thing, at least in the first part of the verse. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. We indeed know what it is to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're not going to fall out by the way. That Joseph knew the heart of his brethren, the Lord knows our heart too. And we have these admonitions and exercises. What a searching thing, see that you fall out by the way.
And we could sing together that hymn, praise the Savior, you know Him. Who can tell how much we owe Him? 256. Just thinking especially of those wonderful two verses in the hymn where it says, keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us pleading to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving from what is the thing. 256. Praise the Savior.
Thank you. in his glory for us. We'll see our Jesus there. 298, the second and fifth verses.